ask if you want to reserve any time for rebuttal.
No, I never get to do that in this court, ever. May it please the court. We are here today in a case, the case of McLean versus Commonwealth. The issue is whether the evidence of identification was sufficient to sustain the convictions. And the trial court was the fact finder in this case. And so unlike
let me stop here and
yes.
Cut to the chase here. Am I correct in concluding this record, no motion to suppress any identification
correct.
Was ever filed?
Yes, that is correct.
So the identification was testified to by the victim in this case.
That is correct.
We testified at the lighting conditions and so forth and so on.
Yes, sir.
So we don't have a constitutional Neal versus Biggers issue, as far as I can tell.
We do not.
Is that correct?
We do not.
So, and we don't have an admissibility issue because there was no objection.
That is correct as
all
well.
We have is a sufficiency argument.
That was what was preserved, yes.
And pursuant to the statute, even if the evidence is improperly admitted, either in violation of the Constitution or the rules of evidence, we have to consider it on a sufficiency basis, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
And so, I'm going to focus on it right now.
If that doesn't set it up for you, I don't know what else.
I think it does. Yes, sir, Your Honor. To point out that the trial judge was not plainly wrong or without evidence to support. I think it's important that the trial judge told everyone when he ruled what he was considering. And he considered the evidence at warts and all. He considered the very challenges that the defendant brings to this court. Said, I know he was a drug addict. I know he was at the worst part of town looking to score drugs. I know he's a two-time convicted felon. I know he wasn't paying attention when they were originally in the car. But when he got out of the car and he looked at him, he was paying very close attention. And when the gun was drawn on him, he was paying close attention. At that point, they were very close together. The judge doesn't mention it, but there is the streetlight. That is there.
Hey, Ms. Dice, have you ever played golf?
Have I ever played golf? No. Only in college, and I will never do it again. I was very bad.
There's a thing that happens in golf. It's called a scramble, and that's when you have four people on your team, and you play the best ball at the person's hit. Now, when I'm on a scramble, I'm a decent golfer. If the first guy on my team gets up and hits it 325 yards, I know I can't hit it 325 yards, and I'm going to be playing his ball. Judge Humphreys just hit it 325 yards for you, so...
Would you like me to stop talking?
I'm just suggesting that you're the boss.
Well, I think that I understand the court's position, and I think that I would like to urge the court to look at my brief, because then you don't have to listen to me talk, and I'm sure you've already read the brief.
Oh, it's a pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you very much. I think that this is not a close case. This is not a close case on the issue of sufficiency of the evidence. The trial judge had everything, considered everything, made its determination, and was supported by the evidence, was not plainly wrong, and this court should affirm the conviction and affirm the judgment of the Circuit Court of the City of Richmond. Thank you, unless you have other questions.
Thank you, Ms. Tyson. We appreciate your argument. We will recounsel. Then the last case for today, a petition for appeal, is Munford versus Commonwealth.